The views, opinions, and discussions expressed on this show are those of the host or guest, and not necessarily those of NMJC, its employees, or board of directors.
And good morning, friends. Welcome. It's Lee County with Lindsay. We are back in the studio. And of course, we're talking about the people, the places, the events, the organizations, and all things fabulous going on in and around your community. And I just want to say a very special thank you for hopefully tuning in, getting us back on, I'm not going to say schedule because I don't know what that'll be, but as we have things to talk about and share, knowing what we can in any kind of future tense, we are going to try to get people to come back onto the show to be able to share that information with you to help basically inform and communicate, because that's almost the only thing I think we can count on is that as people know something that they can hopefully inform us and communicate it to us. That being said, everything changes. So what you hear on this show today, I think we all are aware that something could change between now and the time that whatever it is happens. But for the purposes of specifically today's show, not just Lee County with Lindsay in general going forward, but today's show, we are going to talk about New Mexico Junior College. What an appropriate thing to kick back off with, talking about the fact that it is the end of July. We roll into August, which, you know, me between my weather reports, Larry, and my how quickly the year goes, those are the things that people usually can count on. I'm not even going to have a weather report. I'm not even going to gripe about the weather because the rest of the world's so crazy. The weather seems insignificant, but I will say that talking about, this particularly how fast the year has gone, it has not flown by in some ways. And in other ways, I still can't believe that we're now approaching August and the start of school, especially since Larry Sanderson, VP of Instruction, y'all didn't even finish school last year. I mean, you did, but you didn't. Tell me just a little bit about how that all works.
Well, thank you. First off, great to have you back, Lindsay. Some semblance of return to... If there is a new normal, hopefully that new normal concludes your show.
Thank you. So. I will say that just knowing that I was coming back today, the sense of, I even said to the crew, getting me back to doing my thing. Obviously, this is one of my things I do, but this is something that I have missed tremendously. And I hope that people have missed having this as a venue to hear information straight from the mouths of those who have information to share. So you coming on today is very important because I know the JC is still going to continue to be a staple of education for this coming year for basically the vast array of students that you have from all over, not only the county, but obviously the country and internationally, as we know, with students. We're going to talk about all of those kinds of things. I appreciate, though, that you're glad that this show's on.
Yep,
because I imagine there's not too much in your world that you know is going to be a normal thing that you're used to going forward.
It's a bit day to day, without a doubt. But you could kind of divide what we've done into two parts. And the first part, of course, was last spring when classes closed down. Early in the pandemic, before anybody and everybody knew even more that we know now, we, like all the other schools, shifted from face-to-face classes to online classes. And we took an extra week to do that. A lot of schools did it real fast. We waited one more week before spring break, and we feel real strongly that that extra week helped the students because we were able to tell them it's coming.
Right, versus just don't come back tomorrow all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You had some kind of preparation.
Well, and the thing people lose sight of sometimes is we probably had 20 faculty members who never taught online before, who had never been part of that process because they didn't have to. And it was as much a learning curve for them as it was for the students. But I think kind of everybody was in it together. And the big thing we watched for was we shifted online. The biggest concern we had, of course, was, will students just drop out? Just say, nope, getting out of the class.
Right.
We actually, and we're really proud of this, we're really proud of the faculty because it was their connection with the students. We had fewer dropouts in the spring than we did the previous spring.
Really?
So they stuck with us. They got through their classes. They got through their classes. They passed their classes. and we didn't see any kind of downturn in the student performance. So, and I give that to the students and I give it to the faculty.
Absolutely.
For doing that. And of course, then that was kind of like, okay, that's over, virtual graduation, and we move on. But then it's been a summer of what can we expect? And we wrote a plan last April. We're still on that plan, okay. Believe it or not.
I am shocked, but that's really
yeah, nice. We are too. but it's still basically the same plan. But we had plan A, 12 backups to that plan and 12 backups to each backup. And yet last Thursday, the decisions that were made with regards to K-12 caught us by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're surprised that the public schools are not starting, but we expected at the same time we'd be told we weren't starting.
Uh-huh, right.
And we've been essentially allowed to continue forward. But now with the K-12 schools in a different place than we're in, we're having to scramble to do some integration. But it's Lee County, and people figure it out.
Right.
And I'm really proud of them. I'm really proud of the school districts and what they're doing. And we're going to start classes on the 17th of August, and we'll have the full range of classes. We'll have ITV classes. We'll have face-to-face classes. We'll have online classes. We'll have dual credit classes. We'll have high school students on campus taking classes.
So technically in that vein, you know, just talking about the types of classes and the types of students that can traditionally take classes at New Mexico Junior College, that essentially is staying intact.
It's intact. We're doing the things, you know, in the face of the pandemic, there's only like three things we can do. We can deal with masks, we can deal with social distancing, and we can deal with personal hygiene.
Right.
Those are the three things that we can control.
Right.
So we're going to do classes. And we've literally been reconfiguring classrooms to allow for some social distancing in the classroom. Faculty members will have to modify their teaching a little bit. They'll have to teach from the front of the classroom. They're not going to be able to walk up and down the aisles like they might want to.
Right.
So we've got to keep the distancing. We're putting hand sanitizing stations in every classroom. There'll be wipes in the classrooms for the students that maybe want to use those things. Those are the things we can control.
Right.
And so we'll do the best we can with the things we can control, but we know that education is best when we can get connected with our students. And so we're going to start and we're going to stay connected. We're going to hang on to the tail of that tiger as long as we can.
Well, and to that point, for years now, especially higher ed has been offering I would say, very vast array of online courses, being able to literally some get their entire degrees from living in different states, for instance, or whatever the case may be. Some of them, they're doing it at night late after work, and so they can't make the class times, and they may live 2 miles from the school, as in the case
right.
of the JC.
Absolutely.
But that has become something that we're much more used to. However, that doesn't mean that there are not still a large percentage of your students, especially young people, I believe, that are not as accustomed to that. They do need, and in some cases, it is a learning style issue that the face-to-face and the sitting in the classroom and having a tangible book sometimes or something that they can interact and ask questions directly at the moment, that's still very important for a lot of us. My kid did calculus online this last year, and I thought, I've taken calculus. I have no clue how he learned or passed a calculus class online. There's no way I would attempt math online personally.
Yep.
But that's just me because that's something that I feel like I need a different way. Were you surprised at how many people still want to come back to a classroom? Or
no.
Y'all have known
no.
that for years?
No, it's not a matter of years, but if you for light reading, we read about generations.
Mm-hmm.
And the current, the majority of our students, put the pandemic aside, say
right.
the pandemic doesn't exist.
Right.
The majority of our students are Gen Z students. We're past the millennial generation. They're Gen Z. What we know about Gen Z students, it's an interesting combination. It's the most technologically savvy generation in American history. And if you talk to them and you poll them, and there's extensive research about them out there, They want a face-to-face component of their classes. They want you, their expectation of a faculty member is, you're going to know the technology, you're going to communicate with me through the technology, but I want to see you face-to-face. I want a personal connection. And so we're actually seeing two-thirds of our students do face-to-face classes, and that's a they don't want us to hand them paper assignments. Give me the assignment in electronic form. Give me the assignment so I can look at it on my phone. But doggone it, I want to see you face-to-face. And they want that connection. And so you kind of have to, what they like to do is they like to flip it.
Yeah.
It's a thing where, say it's a Monday, Wednesday class, and you and I would go to class on Monday, Wednesday. They might say, well, look, give me the assignment. Let me work on the assignment for a few days electronically. But then Wednesday, I want to see you face-to-face because I want to ask you questions about it. Mm-hmm. Don't spend my time telling me what you want me to do. Spend my time talking to me about the outcomes. It's an interesting generation, but that's the majority of our students. So if we're not creating an opportunity for them to connect with their professors face-to-face, we're falling short.
And I love, we talked a little bit before we got on the air about the creativity. You mentioned in the first comments about it's Lee County, we'll find a way. I love that the restaurants right now in the community are doing that a lot. There's a lot of people taking initiative to just, you know what, this is what we've got. We're going to figure it out. And it sounds like that is exactly what you began doing in April. I love that it's still working to, for the most part, you've had to tweak some things and adjust. That'll continue, I'm sure.
Day to day.
almost hour to hour.
Yeah.
But in looking through the document and identifying how things will be different based on what everyone's been having to do just in their normal everyday living, I don't think that it seems like there's going to be too many terribly surprising things of when a student comes to campus beginning August. You said 17th?
Yep.
So social distancing, you already mentioned. Obviously, no congregating.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the, you know, the student unions for congregating, now it's not going to be for congregating. No standing in lines. No, I know that the cafeteria is going to be a little different. Housing is going to be a little different. Start going through whatever pieces of that you want to hit on how things may look very different, aside from just what we expect just out of our normal living now.
Well, I mean, we've spent quite a bit of time, and I've got to give a shout out to David Shaw and Norley Hospital District. Those folks, through David and his team, they've worked with us for 3 or 4 months now, and we're in constant touch with them about what's the best practice, what's the best way to do this. And right from the beginning, David looked at us and said, look, he said, if you can pull it off, you need to do classes. People need the structure. Students need the structure. And we all know that. But it was good to hear from medical mm-hmm. risk managers
right.
that it's worth the effort. And like we talked, we talked about it. We can do three things. We can mask. We can control physical space. We can control personal hygiene, but give people those opportunities. But the emphasis has been that there's no guarantees. So it's risk management. If people stay at a distance, if you're masked. What the hospital folks have been telling us is if people are masked, even if one of them is positive and you maintain a little bit of distance, you can carry on a conversation and there's very little risk of transmitting as long as both parties are masked. So we're listening. We're listening to those requirements. We know that not everybody's going to like it, but it's the way we can best do it. So let's just go around kind of the campus. Housing. We are thinning out housing. So what is traditionally a two-person room is now a one-person room.
Okay.
In the apartments, there are still four students to an apartment, but each student has their own bedroom. So we're creating space there. Food service has to space out. Some of it has to be delivered. You kind of get away from the buffet types of things. Spacing in the dining hall. We're not sure yet exactly what that dining hall is going to have to look like because there's still rules and regulations coming on that. We're creating space in the classrooms. So we're thinning out the class sizes a little bit. And we've thinned out the desks so that people can keep space without having to just crowd around. Teachers will have to teach from the front of the classroom and not move back and forth. Teachers will be able to teach without a mask, but if they're interacting with students or they're in student space, they're going to have a mask. They'll have to have it as they go back and forth to their office. But essentially, masks are required on campus. And within, if you're in a private office, no. But we've encouraged people to use, we did a meeting yesterday. I kind of laughed about it. We had seven people on the meeting, and it was a Zoom meeting, and so we were all on the computer, but we were all in the same building. So we've cut back the in-person meetings. And this is what the medical people tell us is, if you need to meet, meet. But if you can do it electronically, you can do it on the phone, you can do it through Zoom, do that. And so we're doing that as best we can. We know there will be positives on campus. We will have plans for that. We will have the ability, if a student informs us that they've tested positive, we'll be able to move that classroom, leave the classroom dark for a day while it gets disinfected, bring the class back. Faculty members will have some latitude on using hybrid, using Zoom for classes. We're just going to try to be as creative as we can be in the process. But it's going to be a day-to-day.
Right.
We know that.
But I love that you actually address, we know this is going to happen. This is just part of the process. We're minimizing risk. We're going to do everything we can, but we know there's going to be some outcomes. And you're basically giving some leniency, some creativity. You're already planning ahead for the fact that it's going to happen versus having to figure it out at the last minute whenever it pops up. And that should be, in my opinion, how we look at everything going forward until such a time, which I don't think any of us can see in our heads right now, right? This is the new norm
right now. And it's kind of interesting to talk about athletics because, as you know very well, New Mexico Junior College is a college with a lot of athletics, national championship athletics. It's a big thing for us. Well, the NJCAA, the National Junior College Athletic Association, has already postponed essentially contact sports until spring. Okay. So basketball, volleyball, which is a close team sport, those kinds of things have put off. The only thing that can take place this fall is cross country and golf.
Okay.
And even those have been adapted. So say, for instance, let's take cross country. I was in a meeting. I was very impressed with our athletic folks and what they're talking to the other schools. Traditionally, let's say you had three teams in a meet in cross country. They all line up at the starting line and they all take off. Now they're going to space it. So your team lines up at the starting line, takes off. 30 minutes later, the second team lines up. So you're running against the clock. You're not
instead of the person.
So you're minimizing personal contact. Golf, a golf member from NMJC might have been in a foursome with members from three other schools. No longer. It's a school foursome, and you're just competing for scores. So there's efforts being made nationally and locally to minimize. You minimize and manage risk. We all know life, there's always some element of risk in life.
Right.
So you have to minimize and control it as best you can. So they're doing that. Sports will, we hope, knock on wood, pick back up again heavily in the spring. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this depends on where the pandemic's at. A lot of it depends on where the vaccines are at at the time. But we'll still bring the athletics back on campus. They'll still have the opportunity starting in November to do practice. But they won't be able, according to NJCAA rules, they won't be able to practice before then.
Really? Which is definitely different than what we've seen in the past.
Absolutely.
And so now we have coaches having to do exactly what your faculty from the education perspective has done, and now they're having to get creative. But those kids will come and participate in classes in August.
Yeah, we're going to bring them on. Okay. But to give you a sense, I mean, the moving parts in this are amazing. We tend in Lee County to look at Santa Fe and either complain or smile depending on whether we agree or disagree with what they're doing.
Yeah.
But what I've just described to you, the NJCAA is a national body. Right. We have to listen to what they tell us with regards to competitive sports. With regards to our students, we have international students, and those decisions are not made by the state. They're not made by the NJCAA. They're made by the federal government. And within the past month, we've seen flip-flopping at the federal government level as to whether or not those international athletes can come in. At this point, we believe that they can. We were told initially, if we were online, that they couldn't. Now they can come in. The question is, if they're here and we get forced online, can they stay or do they have to go home? And that will be a federal decision.
Something changes at the state level that you all of a sudden have to go to online only, then does that change what the feds are saying about what these athletes can and can't do and then change your situation up?
I think it's fair to say that ultimately the online decision for NMJC is going to be an NMJC decision. Okay. We're going to do what's in the best interest of students. We've got a leadership, we've got a board, and a president who believe that the safety of the students is the first thing. If we get to a point that we feel that it's not safe, we may go online whether the state says we have to or not. If the state says we have to, then of course we follow that guideline. But I don't want to pretend that it's just their decision. We accept our responsibility, and there may come a point at which we decide we have to.
And you'll be assessing that, obviously, as things go and looking at what happens. And
day to day.
Hour to hour.
Yeah.
And so all of this to be said, and I think people probably have a pretty good understanding of what to expect. Again, a lot of it they probably already had based on this new way of living, but then you've outlined a few other things. It's one of the things that is going to be talked about no matter who I have on this show for the next probably few months. Hopefully it's only a few months, or what is flexibility, respect. I know there's some R words that y'all have based your entire plan around, and you can talk about that. But this idea, and I will admit, Larry, this is an area that I don't struggle with being respectful or being maybe flexible. Maybe I struggle with my flexibility. But yeah. The idea of respecting other people and what works for them is something that y'all are going to really be focused on for those students here, because what you believe and what works for you may not be what somebody else feels and what works for them, but we should all be finding a way to get along. You're all going to go by the same standards and the same policies of what the JC's presented for you. So now let's just live in as peaceful a mode about that as you can.
It has to be. And I think one of the biggest things for me, I think college, whether it's a community college or whether it's a four-year school, is a life experience.
Right.
And when you go to college, the things that you learn in college have a lot more to do than with just what you're learning in the classroom. You're learning a new way of interacting with people. You're learning, it's kind of, in many cases, for young people, it's a halfway house to life. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that helps us all learn about personal control, self-regulation. Just as a total aside and a family thing, we have a new great grandbaby.
Congratulations.
What I was listening to a thing the other day that talked about how as new parents, it's hard on us letting a baby cry. Mm-hmm. And as the baby starts to get a little older, we learn as parents that, you know what, sometimes it's okay to let the baby cry. And as that baby cries, the baby learns to self-regulate. Okay, as college students and as people in colleges, we're in a different place where we're learning to self-regulate. We can't just do things the way we want to do it. We're part of a hive. We're part of a collective, and we have responsibility not only to ourselves but to others. And so I think we're trying to set the best reasonable level of expectations that help everybody be safe. Because if we don't do those, we can't hold classes.
Right.
And if we can't hold classes, we fail in our mission. And so it's going to require everybody to work together. It's going to require faculty to work together and students to work together. And we expect some bumps and grinds
right
along the way. We expect some learning along the way. But that's what college is about. And I think if we do it right, We'll continue to do what NMJC has always done, be a great experience for students.
This might be life lessons by fire hydrant or by fire hose, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I really appreciate the picture you've drawn, the analogy of it all. And more importantly, that this is really a lot of what these young people learn when they come anyways. It's just at obviously a heightened level.
Yep.
And as I just said, and I'm sure most adults would agree, this is such uncharted territory for almost anybody. I haven't found anybody yet who says, oh yeah, I feel like this is what happened in my life back years ago. I think we all feel like this is so unique and different to anything else we've experienced. And we're all having to learn some of that. But you're right. These young people, they're primed for these types of opportunities to learn. And it's just going to be at a heightened level. I do want to talk a little bit about, you talk about that experience. And when you were referring to it, you're talking about the life lessons somewhat. Let's talk about how you foresee, because you don't know. You've got, I noticed there was some information in the packet about still trying to have opportunities for kids to have some time to gather. I mean, part of that experience, let's say for these coming out of high school kids, and even if they're coming back, they're returning to you, they're used to and hoping for that ability to join together with their other students and have fun and activities. Obviously, that's going to have to take on a whole different meaning, but it doesn't mean that y'all aren't being creative about that as well.
I think particularly over in our student services side, I think the housing directors and the student life folks are working really hard to figure out back to the Gen Z and electronics. What are some of the things that young people who are in the dorms in housing can do, as opposed to wrestling matches, as opposed to physical activities? Are there some electronic games? Are there different competitions? Are there things that people can do that don't have the high contact? And I don't know what that looks like right now, but I know that we've got some really creative folks that are working on it. And I also believe once the kids get back on campus, they'll work on it.
Absolutely.
Kids are ridiculously resilient and smart about the things and are able, a lot of times are able to show older folks, well, wait a minute,
you're going about that way.
But it just all has to be continually in the context of respecting distance, respecting that is in this business, it's not just about protecting yourself, it's about not exposing others to risk. And what's so hard about this, and we've all talked about it, and you've talked about it at home, this is a crazy disease that is communicable from people who are asymptomatic. And that's what every college that I've listened to, and I was part of a statewide task force on this, it's the asymptomatic thing. You can't just look at somebody and say, you need to go home today, you're sick.
Right. We're gonna put you in quarantine so that we know that you don't give it to anybody and then it's over.
Yeah.
It would be great, but that's not how it is.
It'd be great. And so we're trying, like everybody else is, we're trying to say, we've got to continue with some level of normalcy, but recognizing that's not last year's normal.
Right.
And I don't know how long it'll go. Right. We know, for instance, now we know that the earliest we're going to see high school students back per se is about the 1st of October. But we're going to stay connected with those high school students between now and then. And we're talking to all of the high school districts about how we can connect our faculty. We're not going to wait 2 months to get them together. We'll get our faculty with them using Zoom or some other video platform so that when the students do come back, say for the welding classes, for the CNA classes, it won't be the first time they're literally seeing their instructors. They'll have had a chance to interact with them between now and then.
It's a great idea. And it'll be good for those kids to feel that connection and feel like there's something bigger to look forward to, because I think that's important for all of us right now. Larry, I think that the bottom line here is that in a very safe way, with the utmost care for the students and your staff, your faculty, New Mexico Junior College is open for business.
Yep.
And
it's a good way of putting it.
Are you enrolling right now?
We are. Okay. And we expect a little drop off in enrollment. All the colleges expect that at some level. I think one of the biggest problems with that is it's just very hard to get enrolled right now because you've got to make an appointment, you've got to have time. But if folks can go on the website, they can see how to make appointments with advisors. There's some directions there. We're here. And we're doing a mailer to all the households in Lee County, basically saying we're here. Here's what our plans are. Here's how you enroll.
Okay.
And so families will have those directions. We'll get through this. It'll be an awkward fall. I hope it's a less awkward spring.
Right.
But we'll get through it.
Is it fair to say that don't just show up out here right now, or do you really?
It's best not to just show up.
Yeah.
It's best to call ahead. You can do folks can do their applications online if they're new students. That's pretty normal. A lot of Gen Z students are used to that. They know they have to do that. As part of that process, they get prompted to make an appointment with an advisor. Advisors will meet students face-to-face on an appointment. They will do a Zoom meeting with them, video. If the student wants to do it that way, they'll do it by the phone.
Okay.
It just takes a little longer. So I think the biggest message, and this is one of the constant life messages, pandemic or not, is don't wait till the last minute.
Procrastinators beware.
Yes.
Honestly, I think that is a huge, you're right, pandemic or not, but keep in mind that what was already a process and an important process, obviously figuring out your plans and what the right classes are and making sure that you're being very beneficial to yourself and your money and your time. This is even more critical that you give yourself ample time to do that just by the nature of the situation.
That's mm-hmm. probably one of the biggest messages out of the day.
Okay.
Is just if this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do, pick up the phone now. Pick up the email now. Do it now.
August 17th still seems like it's a little bit of ways away, but as we
know, it doesn't.
Those
no, it doesn't. It
fly.
Is.
I mean, it's like 2 weeks away.
I know.
It's 2.5 weeks, maybe, if I'm stretching it for everybody. So there is time is now to do this, and hopefully, anyone who wasn't sure, because I know sometimes in the back of your head you just assume that this isn't. You know, you mentioned how the Hobbs school system doesn't get to, the primary schools don't get to. So I'm sure that the JC is not. Now they have heard that you are open, that you're having classes. Come get registered. So maybe that'll be
helps. I'll pitch one of my favorite things. One of the things we've been hearing for years is that there are folks that want to be able to take classes in diesel engines.
Mm.
And they are starting this fall.
Is that right?
They are evening classes.
Excellent.
So folks that are working during the day that may want to go in the evening, we've got some automotive, but particularly light diesel is starting this fall.
Fantastic.
And I think those are the kinds of things people are going to be real interested in.
Well, and to that point, while we've talked a lot about young students, we referenced it, both of us, in our comments early on, that we know that there is a very broad spectrum of what kind of students you do have and how what ages they fall into and what their current professional status is. The training and outreach facility is still operating in its full force as well.
Yep.
So all of the great things they've always offered, and obviously some things they've been working on. I'm sure they've been working on adding this for years. It's ironic that probably it now gets added right now.
Yeah, I know.
However, Southeast New Mexico being an essential industry in many ways for this whole time, there's a lot of people life has been kind of business as usual from their work perspective. These are the folks probably who are going, pandemic what? I've been working and now I'm just going to go take this class because I've been waiting for it. So this is great.
So
great.
Hopefully so.
Okay. So please, folks, go online. nmjc.edu is the website. You will be able to find all the information you need there, as well as the contact information to set up appointments to get registered once you've completed the application, if you have not already done so. Good news is that no matter where it takes you or how long it takes you, there are tons of opportunities for you here at New Mexico Junior College to get back into your educational goals and path, which I think for some of us, we weren't sure what we would be doing as of March for educational purposes come August. So I'm glad to know that y'all are helping out.
We're here.
Larry Sanderson, it's been a pleasure, sir. So glad to see you again.
Thank you, Lindsay. Always a pleasure.
So that wraps up the first Lee County with Lindsay back in the seat, considering all of the shutdown and the craziness. We are happy to be back. I am personally very excited to be able to share information and help inform the county as we've done now for years. please, if you have something that you feel is important and that the benefit of the greater good would be to have you on this show, I encourage you to reach out to me. You can email me or go to Lee County with Lindsay and Facebook me, send a message, a comment, something in that nature. You can email me at lindsay@soaringevents.net if you need to, and we can try to get you on the show in the coming weeks and months, because I would love to keep us going and keep us having something to share with you. I think that does do it for today. I just want to wish everyone amazingly positive, good vibes as we continue to make our way through all that is going on. And just remember, I still believe that it's a good place to be here in this little neck of the woods. And I am excited to be sharing information with you. Lindsay Chisholm McCarter, have a great day, my friends.
Are you ready to go back to college? Maybe learn a new skill or get that degree you've always wanted? New Mexico Junior College has a variety of job trainings and degree plans that will fit your schedule. Financial aid and scholarships available to help you with tuition, fees, and books. Plus, payment plans make it easy to work with your budget. Talk with one of our advisors and get started on your new career. New Mexico Junior College, nmjc.edu.